The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently minus 2 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Simon Fournet. Here are today's headlines. Poor people getting priced out of Montreal. Should we get rid of offensive monuments? And trying to change the youth protection system. Inflation is worsening the housing crisis and it's affecting more and more people. According to a new report, 1% out of 4 spends more than 30% of their income just to keep a roof over their head. Our reporter Leila Aouman has the story.
This morning, the Institute of Quebec and Centraide released a report showing that the price of housing rose by 20% over the last 5 years. According to political analyst Robert Frank, Quebec is now as much affected as Vancouver and Toronto.
The biggest contributing factor to the housing crisis is that there is not enough affordable housing being built. This is a crisis that has been taking place. It's been on a slow burn for several years now. It was entirely foreseeable. And unless new affordable housing is built and we find ways to encourage the construction of that housing, simply stepping in and providing more and more funds when demand exceeds the supply is not going to put roofs over people's heads.
An economist at National Strategy for Housing of Canada said that the people the most affected are visible minorities and young families, but that it affects people all over the income brackets.
CMHC has a lot of programs to help with construction, but basically we need all levels of government to work together to facilitate the increase in housing.
The arrival of COP15 in Montreal is being met with mixed emotions. The preparations for the UN Biodiversity Conference are already underway. With the conference set to begin in just under 2 weeks, citizens should brace themselves for major disruptions, including the construction of a security fence, increased police presence, and protests. Our reporter Sharoma Jesse Boisdou joins us live from downtown Montreal. So Sharoma, what does the current situation look like in downtown Montreal?
So you can kind of already see the effect of the COPAC 15 is going to have on citizens. The police presence is already present. Like, you can see police officers on almost every corner, as well as the fence creating a lot of traffic and rerouting issues for residents. I spoke to a woman named Ronak Marudam at the Metro, and she was telling me how the closure of the Metro is really going to impact a lot of people, especially because it's a very central part of the downtown Montreal area.
So I feel like it puts everybody at a disadvantage, whether it's tourists coming to see old Montreal, historic sites, me for school, or anybody in the community actually living here. I think it's definitely a bad time.
Who else is going to be impacted by this?
So businesses around the area, restaurants, as well as daycares and pharmacies and even hotels, because of the fact that the fence is blocking away a lot of entrance ways, it's going to really impact the way workers are able to enter their businesses as well as clientele. Even workers are going to have to get special clearance in order to enter their workplaces once the convention starts.
And why is there such a high level of security for the convention?
Well, the city of Montreal says that it's because of the fact of the delegates that are coming from around 195 countries. They say the increased security measures are meant for their protection in terms of transportation from airports to the Congrès de Montréal, Palais de Congrès, where the convention is being held, as well as to their residences while they're here. The city of Montreal says that the SDPM is going to receive support from the RCMP as well as other police stations around the island of Montreal, including Longueuil and Laval as well.
Thanks, Roma. If public transport delays are getting on your nerves, you're not alone. A new study says 1 out of 4 Montreal buses arrives late. The STM's performance indicators show that this is the lowest rate since 2019. The opposition strongly criticizes the Plante administration that the city should encourage residents to reduce their use of cars by improving public transportation. STM's spokesperson says this is due in part to impacts of road work and that punctuality should improve until the end of the year. The statue of John A. Macdonald in downtown Montreal is still lying face down on the ground after 2 years. In 2020, protesters toppled the monument in defiance against the Montreal police in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. The city of Montreal has decided that the historical monument should be restored. But this leaves many people wondering, what does this mean for Canada's history? Louise Brand-Newhook has the story.
Sir John A. Macdonald's statue has been standing tall at Place du Canada in downtown Montreal for just over two centuries as a symbol of Canadian history. Yesterday morning, the city of Montreal announced it would be taken down due to the assimilative and genocidal policies the first prime minister implemented on the indigenous peoples. Robert Frank, a political analyst, disagrees with this move and says the statue should stay where it is.
We've had too much removals over the last more than half a century of the presence and a reminder that the English people helped to build Quebec and helped to build Canada.
It's a complex issue, however. Many people fear that removing such a historic monument will remove the important history that comes along with it. Jim Locke is a retired history teacher at Mount Pearl Senior High in Newfoundland and says that not everything is black and white. Other measures can be taken to appease victims of genocidal policies while still remembering our history.
Some people may say, put the Sir John A. Macdonald statue back up and erect another statue next to it that explains the perspective of the people who tore this down.
It's yet to be seen what the reaction of Montrealers and Canadians will be in the wake of this news, but the majority seems to be in favor of its demolition. After many years, perhaps the victims of cruelty acts against Indigenous peoples can finally start to heal. For Concordia News, I'm Louise Brand-Newhook.
Scientists recommend the protection of an additional 24 rare plant species. Some of these plants, mostly from southern Quebec, have been waiting to be protected for over 11 years. Specialists complain that the Quebec government is not moving fast enough on conservation, especially when Montreal is to host the UN Conference on Biodiversity in a couple of weeks. There has been an increase in gun violence in Canada. However, there are contradictions on whether Montreal is as unsafe as the news and the police make it seem. Jessica Jakubowicz has the story live from the studio. So Jessica, how is the media portraying gun and gang violence in Montreal?
A lot of the news has been about the gun and gang violence that has been occurring in Montreal. However, statistics have been proving otherwise, so it can be said that there's been some contradictions. Paul Gott, a media analyst, speaks on the role the media plays in.
I think there has to be a line drawn between what's news and what's commentary. And the media reports events like gun violence.
What do statistics say about Montreal's safety?
Montreal has just been deemed the safest city in Canada, as well as the third safest city in the world. This was just announced earlier this month. However, there are still articles every day on how the violence that is happening in the city, which makes you think about why and how the city is being deemed so unsafe. Paul Gott speaks on the media versus the commentators.
Since the commentators who have been sort of amalgamating all these stories and saying, hey, there's something bad going on, but maybe they're not accurate. So I'm not sure it's fair to sort of say the news is wrong. I think it's the commentators who are wrong.
Is gun violence in Montreal getting worse?
We have been seeing more gun violence in the city. Despite this, Montreal has the lowest firearm homicide rates in the country, 0.58 per 100,000 inhabitants. In 2021, there were 37 homicides and 18 of them were from gun violence. So far this year, there have been 34 homicides and 15 were from gun violence. The city is planning on investing $250 million into hiring more police officers in order to reduce gun violence.
Thanks, Jessica. Quebec's youth protection system has faced a lot of criticism over the years. 12 foundations who are directly involved in youth aid and support are grouping together to help the youth in protection make a smooth transition to adulthood. Here is Ashka Patel reporting live from the press conference organized by the foundations. Ashka, what is the initiative?
So I'm at the conference and the initiative is basically 12 organizations coming together and creating a space where people can use, the youth can use the resources. Here is Judy Marston explaining more about the movement.
The Fondation de la DPG has been working behind the scenes. 12 foundations have been working behind the scenes for over a year to create the regroupement because we think we can better serve the children who are in youth protection and beyond. So when they leave at 18, if kids are going to want support, they can still come back to the member foundations, which are listed on the website, and there are 12 of them at the moment.
How is the government involved in this?
Although this is not a government initiative, here is Judy Martin explaining from Bradshaw. how the whole foundation works.
So the government is not involved in the foundations. They're all private. They all have their own charitable number. The government loves that the foundations exist because we're able to support programs that are outside of the public establishment. So, as we said, people going to CEGEP, we can give them $1,000 extra.
How is this going to benefit the youth?
So, there are different needs you have, and there are 12 different foundations catering to different needs and giving people, youth, the different resources they need. This will help them to establish themselves from needing help in their academic life to professional life to any kind of transaction. So it's just an initiative for helping youth, not only when they are 18 and under, but also for the youth who's transacting into adulthood.
Thanks, Ashka. Community workers are asking for the right to perform HIV testing and counseling. The International HIV Testing Advocacy Week has just started, and they think it is now time to call on Health Minister Christian Dubé to reform the system. Clément Lechat joins us in the studio to tell us more. Clément, why are these groups asking for change now specifically?
The COVID-19 pandemic impacted HIV testing. Between 2019 and 2020, there were 18.4% fewer tests performed in Quebec. Nurses who used to do outreach testing with community organizations were pulled off to fight against COVID. The consequence is that many people are being diagnosed with HIV later than usual. I talked to Ken Monteith, who is the general director of a community organization's coalition that fights against HIV in Quebec. He fears it will be difficult to eradicate new transmissions.
That means their immune system is already damaged, and who knows what that means in terms of transmission to others in the community.
For the moment, HIV testing, but also counseling, are considered medical acts, which makes nurses, trained professionals, or people with accreditation the only ones to be legally allowed to perform them. But this is not the same everywhere in Canada. Community workers in Ontario are already allowed to test for HIV. It's the same in countries like France or Morocco. I talked to the Quebec Order of Nurses, but they refused to comment on demands from groups outside of the order. It's not sure whether medical practitioners will accept to share the responsibility of HIV testing with untrained workers or not. Ken Monteith thinks community organizations would be good partners.
I think that we are very used to working in complementarity with the healthcare system. We are good partners to public health, and we just want to be able to explore how to be good partners in a more active way.
What would it change for Quebecers?
Community workers often have closer ties with the people they serve. They're also more likely to trust them, receive advice, and perform HIV testing. Knowing that there is a nurse labor shortage in the province, community workers' help could also be useful. There are existing treatments that prevent the transmission of HIV, but people need to know what their status is.
Thanks, Clément. A criminal organization of truckers has been sent to jail while one of the leaders fled justice. The truckers have been accused of smuggling more than 1,000 tons of contraband tobacco across the U.S.-Canada border for 2 years. The organization is said to have moved 88 tractor trailers full of bulk tobacco. One of the leaders of the trucking network received 54 months in prison while his accomplice didn't show up in court. The authorities believe that he could be in Mexico. Today is a national day for teachers' assistants in Quebec. Quebec's teachers' union created the day to celebrate TAs, who they say are often not given enough recognition for their work. Our reporter, Tatiana Mulowayi-Pelletier, spoke with Caroline Kennel, president of Quebec's teachers' union, about the history of the day.
So in 1999, we started this movement, this national day, in order to put some light on the course lecturers, because there's a real lack of recognition of their work within the universities in Quebec.
What do teachers' assistants do exactly?
Course lecturers are doing exactly the same teaching jobs as professors in universities, but not only don't have the same salary, but most of the time they're treated unfairly. They don't have access to research grants. They don't have the same place in the same voice in the university. They course lecturers are teaching half of the course in university, especially the first cycle. And if we push the logic, you know, to some kind of absurd, if they don't teach anymore, half of the university will be, you know, will have to close. So it's very important. It's very important to bring light to the unfairness of their treatment within university.
So what should the universities do to support their TAs better?
They don't know, term after term, whether they're going to be teaching or not. And this precarity is a big problem for course lecturers.
Could the government do something? As a, you as a union, what are you pushing for?
Well, we're going to be meeting the new minister, Pascal Derry, in a few weeks. And we'll make sure that we emphasize the situation and try to discuss with her.
That was our reporter Tatiana Mulowai-Peltier speaking with Caroline Kennel, president of the Quebec's Teachers Union. And now with sports, some surprising NBA wins. The Edmonton Oilers lose to the Devils, and a huge upset at the FIFA World Cup. Here's Esther Morand with all our sports news.
Blockbuster start to the second half for Saudi Arabia. Up and away off Romero from Nawaf Al-Abid. Oh, and that's a brilliant effort, and they've turned it right around.
We are hearing Saudi Arabia's second winning goal for the third day of the Qatar FIFA World Cup. Saudi Arabia stunningly won 2-1 against Argentina. Scoreless draw this morning between Tunisia and Denmark. At 11 a.m., Mexico is playing against Poland, and at 2 p.m., France will play against Australia. So far, a lot of controversy has surrounded the Qatar FIFA World Cup, specifically around LGBTQ+ rights, in a country like Qatar, where homosexuality is illegal. The FIFA are yet again unsurprisingly receiving allegations of bribery and corruption. Canada will be having its first game tomorrow at 2 p.m. against Belgium. Let's go, so-called Canada.
Pass down low. Comes away from Puljujärvi, ends up with Draisaitl.
We are hearing the splendid game of the Oilers and the Devils. The Edmonton Oilers lost against New Jersey Devils 2-5. The Devils are now winning their 13th game in a row. The Devils have three quarters of the season to go, but they most probably will make it to the playoffs for the first time since 2017-2018 season. The Toronto Maple Leafs lost against the New York Islanders 3-2. Tonight, the Habs will play against the Buffaloes at 7 p.m. The Buffaloes have not won a single point in their last 8 games. The Canadians will therefore hopefully be able to pick up some points in their game tonight.
For an opening, Donovan stays down. Oh, it's worth a tough shot, and Murray hit it.
Ooh, another tough shot. Wow.
The Cavs played.
Listening in to last night's Cavaliers win against Atlanta Hawks, a swiping 114-112. The Indiana Pacers won 123-102 against Orlando Magic. The Minnesota Timberwolves won against Miami Heat 105-101. The Chicago Bulls won against the Boston Celtics 121-107. Surprisingly, the New York Knicks won against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And finally, the Milwaukee Bucks won against the Portland Trail Blazers. In Canada, the Toronto Argos are still rejoicing in their victory against Winnipeg's Mombers last Sunday, bringing home the Grey Cup. And that's it for our sportsy news.
Thank you, Esther. This was Esther Morin for sports. And now with arts. The world loses a famous Latin songwriter. A groundbreaking animated film celebrates its 27th anniversary. And Elton John says a final farewell to North American concerts. Here is Russell Terrier with all our arts news.
This thing about my life is that when we had these children, everything changed. Everything changed. That's why I'm coming off the road. I want to be with my children. This is the biggest tour I've ever done. What more could I want? I've had enough applause. I've said that
before. Elton John played his final North American concert at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles on Sunday. That was the site of his first North American concert in 1975. John is now 76 years old and said that at this point of his life, all he wants is the applause of his children. His last concert was attended by celebrities such as Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney.
To infinity and beyond!
That was a clip from Toy Story, which was released 27 years ago today. It is one of the most popular Pixar movies of all time and had a significant impact on the film industry. The most famous line from the movie, quote, to infinity and beyond, end quote, ended up being used by philosophers, mathematicians, astronauts, and others. Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and other famous actors appeared in that movie. That's a voice you won't be hearing live in concert anymore. Cuban legend and Grammy Award winner Pablo Milanes died of blood cancer today at the age of 79. He produced dozens of albums and hit songs such as Yolanda, I'm Staying, and I Love This Island. Milanes canceled his concerts this year after he decided to seek cancer treatment in Spain. In other arts news, the Montreal Bach Festival is ongoing and will end on December 9th. Other ongoing arts events in Montreal include the Image Nation Film LGBT Queer Montreal and the International Documentary Festival.
Thank you, Russell. That was Russell Tellier with Arts. An American couple gave birth to twins from 30-year-old embryos. In a Tennessee fertility clinic, Rachel and Philip Ridgway, a couple from Oregon, decided to participate in the National Embryo Donation Program and agreed to adopt what may be the longest frozen embryos to ever result in live birth. The embryos were created in vitro from another couple and frozen 30 years ago. The transfer and pregnancy were a success, and their twins, Lydia and Timothy, are healthy babies. There will be clear skies today. For the rest of the week, the temperature will hover around the freezing point with relatively nice weather, but you can expect rain on Friday and Sunday, where temperatures will rise to up to 5 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Simon Fournet.